Blog Talk Radio.
Minutes of close in action from kickoff.
Legend has it, he ate glass and pounded his head against lockers before waging war. He announced on a Monday night game that he hailed from Buzzard's Breath, Wyoming. He decreed that all quarterbacks should wear dresses. He was Count Dracula in cleats, the remorseless linebacker for Pittsburgh, Transylvania.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
I sure hope I never get back in there. I will kick your
Hello. Okay, there we are. Okay, folks, welcome to Tuesday night and another 60 minutes of hard-hitting NFL action live on the NFL Recap Show. I tried Hard Rockin' Sports Presents our Tuesday night edition, where we break down all of the biggest stories, news, and stats from this week's past NFL games. And guys, welcome back on a dreary, wet Tuesday. But I got a feeling it's going to be a little fired up here tonight on the show. Lots to get to tonight. Again, remember our sponsor for the Tuesday night show, none other than RFL Records. Check out RFLRecords.com for all of the great happenings. Remember, they got Jeff Westlake's new album dropping, Dead World, November 30th. Fear in Sanitarium, dropping on November 30th. Plenty of stuff going on this Thursday night on the Hard Rocket Sports Show Thursday edition. We got a couple of the boys from After the Fall calling in, along with Jimbo Wallace from the Reverend Horton Heat. But you make sure you guys follow everything going on at RFL. Those guys have it going on. There's so much going on in the world of RFL Records. I need an entire show to tell you about it. So I just suggest you go to RFLRecords.com. Check out all the great bands. Silk 9, Hydrogen, Jeff Westlake Solo, After the Fall, Fear, Live Say, The Black Knots. Make sure you check out all the bands up at RFL Records. And just so everybody knows, our stats have changed. We used to get most of our audience came from the good old U.S. of A. Well, right now, a good piece of our audience comes out of the United Kingdom. And I'm putting that on the fact that RFL Records is now in the U.K. So thank you to RFL for the help with the promotions. But again, guys, we're on the NFL. We're on the NFL Recap Show for week number 10, Gangrene. Gangrene, it's over, baby. But I'm sure Jeff's going to tell you all about it. But guys, don't forget, tomorrow night, you'll hear more about the Jets and a lot of other football and baseball, basketball on the Pass the Mic show with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham from 6 to 8 here right on the NFL, right here on the Hard Rocket Sports Network, 347-826-9993-4. And back here Thursday night for the regular NFL, the regular Hard Rocket Sports show. And I'll give you some more promotion. But right now, guys, we got to kick this show off. And I can only do that by getting on the host of the show. He is the one and the only, Mr. Jeff Towinski. Jeff, welcome to your show.
Oh, thank you. After the 3 minute and 33 second hold there,
but that's
all right. Sorry, I got to get the business in because I had a feeling once you got on the air, we were going to be fired up about football. So I had to get all the business news out first, and then we could get into football for about an hour. So we'll
let's just beat up on the Giants first.
If you can beat up on the Giants after last night, go for it.
Okay, I can, and I will, and I'm going to. Okay. Not a, riding a remarkable one-game winning streak going into next week.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little upset about things.
You're
really
upset
am.
About it. Why are you upset about the Giants winning a game and looking
well,
good
one,
doing
they
it?
Won. One, they won, so that upsets me. Two, there's other things about the Giants that are really upsetting so far.
Okay. You want to spell them out for me, or I got to guess?
But you can guess. Try to guess.
Let's see. What upset you? Eli Manning played really well. The offensive line played really well. So I'm assuming those things bothered you tremendously.
How did Eli play well?
I thought Eli played a great game. I watched every snap of that entire game. Eli was in control. He threw the ball well. No picks. I thought Eli he moved well in the pocket last night. He actually got outside the pocket, threw a couple good passes. I put 27 points on the board. I thought Eli had a good game.
So now the season is saved because Eli finally.
I didn't say that the season's saved. I didn't say Eli's got to get an extension to his contract. I didn't say any of it. I'm specific. At this point, all I'm dealing with is week to week. I thought Eli played well. I thought the line had their best game of the season. They didn't run the ball well last night, but I thought against a very good pass rush, they did a good job. Only one sack given up and not that much pressure. I thought Eli played very, very well last night. It was vintage
Eli.
Now,
this is the disturbing thing.
This is disturbing?
That's all disturbing to me.
Why is it disturbing to you, Jeffrey?
Because on Sunday, in the papers, they were ready to lynch Eli Manning.
Now, they were. Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, okay,
he
went out and he was a pedestrian game, 19 of 31, 188 yards. He did have three touchdown passes. I can't get all his stats on this page, which is unfortunate from the game. But whatever. But he only averaged, I think it was like 6.1 yards a throw.
Okay.
Now, the guy goes out and throws three touchdown passes and less than 200 yards. Oh, we're forgiving with what happened. Now, I've said all along that I didn't believe that any of that, if most of it, was Eli's fault to begin with. But on Sunday, there was articles in the paper, this may be Eli's last game.
All true.
Could be the end. It could happen any time, this, that, and the other thing. Totally leaving out the fact
we weren't so that worried about
is really Eli's fault.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Oh, good. I'm sorry. I was listening. Something popped up on my screen, then it kind of got away. Eli's fault?
No, I'm saying that hardly any of this year's problems have been due to Eli. And
I agree.
I think that it's unfair how they went in the papers, said all of this stuff, and then, you know, the guy has what would be, all right, so he threw three touchdown passes. He only had eight for the year, so he still only has, 11 for the season so far.
Yep.
But he's had better games where he threw for more yards.
Mm-hmm.
And noticeable, it's not his fault. Half the offensive line that started the year isn't even on that team anymore. But I think that they were persecuting him and blaming him for things that they just shouldn't have. And I think that that's all bullshit, to be honest with you. I don't think that he can take it all for the issues that are with that team right now.
100%, Jeff. But here's the thing. No, the Daily News and the Post are not going to sell newspapers by saying, hey, if Eli doesn't play really well, he should still be the quarterback. No, it's much more headlines. It's much more intriguing to say, well, if Eli loses this game, now he's on the death watch. He's going to be out. And you're right. It's not fair to Eli, but it's who are you going to say? Well, if the Giants lose this week, Lomas Brown is not going to play guard anymore, or Nate Solder. It's not sexy. So right now, let's go after the quarterback. and undeserving. Like you said, it's undeserving.
100% undeserving. And right. Not for nothing, I believe that the stats in that game, now I didn't watch any of that game because I just don't like to watch the Giants. But I believe the stats in that game once again showed that the offensive line is at fault. And I think that it's bullshit that you don't see anything and then everybody else is taking the fall for this offensive line.
But again, nobody cares. Right now, Eli is in the crosshairs. I'm going to say it like I say it every week. Do I think Eli's worth bringing back next year? I would not bring Eli back at $23 million next year. I can't. You can't kill a salary cap. But they made a really good point last night. The top three guys coming out in the draft at quarterback are iffy at best. Okay, so you're looking at the Giants having a top five pick. So the guys coming out next year are iffy at best. Maybe the kid from Oregon, Hebert, is the one guy you go after. Maybe. And that's if the Giants are lucky enough to wind up with number one or two. If not, the big free agents, two of the big free agents are Bridgewater and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay, so right there, can I get Teddy Bridgewater? Okay, maybe I can get him. If I can't, do I want Ryan Fitzpatrick or do I want Eli Manning back at a very cheap price?
Even if you get Fitzpatrick, he's only staying for a year at best.
But why would I take Jeff? That's the question. If I could sign Fitzpatrick for $6 million and I could have Eli for $9 million, wouldn't I be better off keeping Eli?
No,
I'm
going to
do
all.
It for that route. Why not?
Not at all. The guy's getting old. It's time for him to go as it is. I'd say that you pull the trigger, you get rid of Eli, regardless of who you get. If you don't have a viable replacement coming out of college next year, you're
right.
Not going into playoffs next year anyway. So
but
if you
why,
could get a veteran
would,
for 1 year
but
and
why,
save
why,
some money, you do it.
For what, $3 million? Let's put it this way, Jeff. Do I want to subject my fans to Orion, if I can get Teddy Bridgewater at $15 million, I'd take Teddy Bridgewater tomorrow. 25, 26, 27-year-old quarterback, got legs. I'll take Teddy Bridgewater. I'll take my chance.
But you're putting too much on the thought of getting Teddy Bridgewater.
No, I'm not.
The man is a free agent. Yes, every week you say something about Teddy Bridgewater. Yes, he is a free agent
right at
the end of this year, but you don't know what New Orleans may want to do with him if they're going to keep him. That's one thing. Second of all, okay, Eli at 37 years old does have some blame to shoulder, without a doubt. Okay? He is eroding. His skills are eroding a little bit. It's time to move on from Eli. You can't hold on to this guy forever. That's all there is to it. Second of all,
I agree. But Jeff, who are you replacing
him? Ryan Fitzpatrick has already had a better season than Eli has.
And has guided
his team to more wins than Eli has guided the Giants to.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's take a fast look at this monumental three wins as compared to the Giants' two wins.
And as of last night at this time, they had one win.
But again, at the
and
end
all,
of week
all
10,
they did all they did was beat up on a team that's on their third string quarterback.
But again, you're talking about a Tampa Bay team's only got three wins.
He threw for 188 yards.
So what?
But hold on, I'm not done. You keep interrupting. I gotta have the mute button here on Tuesday nights. Do you want me to be in charge of the mute button on Tuesday nights?
I want you to be in charge, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Because you'll be getting hit, all you'll hear is muted. Muted. He didn't go out and beat the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Patriots, the Steelers. He beat the 49ers, okay? So it's not like all of a sudden with one win, the Giants are back in the playoff race and everything else. It's not what happens. The guy threw for less than 200 yards. He's not even thrown for 7 yards a clip, okay? And you want to continuously hold on to them. I think that's nice that you're loyal to your people. But let's be honest, this is a business, and it's time for this man to go. You can't hold on to the sentiment of Eli, because if you hold on to him next year, And after next season, if there's no quarterback option, do you turn around and say, well, we're going to hold on to Eli one more year? So, you know, the sooner that they move on from Eli, regardless of who they get, it's going to be that much better for them, okay, for them as a team. They have to move on from him. That's one thing. Second, even if he had a decent game with three touchdown passes, but once again, he's playing a team that was, what, 2-7, 2-6, whatever they were last night, the 49ers. So it's not like he went out against a top-rated defense and shred them up. You know, it's you got to think long-term, Tom, and you can't worry about who the next quarterback's going to be because this team is going to be rebuilding next year anyway. So it really doesn't matter. So to me, even if you got a one-year rental, okay, regardless of who the player is, I think you're better off. You can't, if there's nobody coming out of college you like and you don't get the free agent that you want, regardless of who it is, take somebody who's a little bit younger, who's a little bit more mobile, and maybe you'll have a little bit of a better season. They still have to rebuild. This team ain't going to the playoffs next year. But I think they have to show that they're trying to make changes so that the fan base doesn't burn the stadium down if they have another campaign like that going through this year and last year. Because I don't see, even with a bunch of changes, maybe 6 wins, maybe, and we don't even know what changes they're going to try to do next year.
Oh, can I respond now, or I didn't know if I was on the mute button.
I'm just going to mute you when I talk about the Giants. That's, I think it's easier that way.
All right, I'll give you
30 seconds.
All right, I don't even know if I need 30, but here we go. Simple.
25.
I'm willing to get rid of Eli today. All I'm saying is I don't want to just throw Eli out and come back with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not keeping Eli for $20 million. If Eli's willing to take far less money, then I keep him another year. But,
he's not doing anything, Tom. It's the end. It's the
end
of the career.
Yes, but
okay,
Jeff,
you can't have a quarterback
for everybody, anybody you can name,
averaging one touchdown a game. It's impossible.
But again, we both have acknowledged that it's not totally his fault. So last night, to me, again, I'm not telling you that they beat the Rams. All I can say is when you watched him and he had time to throw the football, regardless of who he was playing, he threw the ball well. He moved his team. I thought it was a nice job. Do I want to build my future around Eli? No, I know the end is here. I'm just saying is I don't want to rent Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jay Cutler or some other quarterback who's at the end of his career for a year when I can keep my guy who's just as good as they are. Let me tell you something. If you think you put Ryan Fitzpatrick behind this offensive line, you'd be any better right now?
I think he'd be more mobile than Eli.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Definitely. The guy took a team that many predicted to go 1-15 and won 3 games with him. Okay, so already he's ahead of Eli. Second of all, he was on a tear the first 3 games of the season, threw for almost 1,200 yards in 3 games.
Okay. Agreed.
Now, I understand why you want to hold on to Eli. I can understand that. And once again, I think that's the fan in you talking. But I need you to be realistic.
I am.
Even if you're not being realistic, bro. You're not.
Jeff, if you told me.
The guy is done.
No. First off, he's not done. Second of all, if you told me, Tom, we're going to get rid of Eli and we're going to play the rookie quarterback, Loletta, and he's our guy of the future, go for it. I'm in. But if I'm going to bring
They're already fucking that up. Because this kid should be in and playing now.
But obviously he's not
holding on to Eli.
Hold on one second. Sorry, Jeff, I had to answer a question. sorry.
No problem. Listen,
they're not fucking up Loletta. He's not prepared to play. Don't put a kid out there who just can't play football.
How do you know that?
Jeff, here's what I'm going to say. At this point in time, you're the New York Giants. You're 1-7. Okay, you're going to the last night. Now you're 2-8. Now you're 2-7. Okay, now you're 2-7. If this kid was ready to play, even if he wasn't going to start, if he was ready for an NFL game, don't you think at least he'd be the backup right now?
No.
Yeah, of course he would. Oh, 100%.
No.
He won't get into a game as a quarterback until he
beats the sideline. Did you read any papers on Sunday?
I read every paper front to back every day.
Okay. Who is the backup quarterback for the Giants now?
Alex Tanny.
Okay. Now, I saw his name. I can't remember his name. I saw his name all over the paper, any Giant article on Sunday. For whatever reason, they seem to have faith in this kid or guy or whatever the fuck he is.
They have no faith in Tanny.
So,
okay, he played one NFL game in his career.
And they're very high on him.
They're not high.
If you read the post on Sunday, they said a lot of good things about him in the post on Sunday.
Did he show up on time? I read the entire post. I didn't see one article where somebody said anything more than he's a professional quarterback. I don't even know if I saw that.
So was the guy Loletta.
Loletta's not even a professional quarterback yet.
You don't know that. You're not giving him a chance.
Again, here's the way I look at it. The way things happen in the NFL is the same as it would happen at any level. Your backup quarterback gets backup reps, and he starts to look really good. He starts to play better than the competition he's playing against. And then you go, well, let's put him in there against the first team. And he gets reps on the first team guys. So right now what it's telling me is playing against the Scrubinis, playing against the backup defense, he's not playing well enough to warrant backup status on the Giants. That's the bottom line.
He should be in the game.
No chance. He's not ready.
You need to know. Listen, what did Eli do this year?
Nothing so far. He's been average at best.
So then what do you have to lose?
Again, I think at this point, all you're trying to do is win football games, figure out if you got five guys on your team that you can call an offensive line, you know, try to get some semblance
I think they already proved that when you have one decent game. And matter of fact, when your running back rushes 20 times to 67 yards and he gets 18, 19 of those yards on one carry, they're really not doing any kind of job for him. You know
again,
that.
But again, this group last night, while it didn't reflect it in the run game and wholeheartedly, but it's a lot harder to put together a run game. Don't forget that the guard they picked up just signed in the middle of the week. So, you know, you've got to give it some time. But they pass blocked really well last night. They ran the ball at best one or two good plays. The rest of it was terrible, and the kid did all he could do by himself. So, again, what you're trying to do is build toward next year. Maybe these five guys are finally the group that's going to put it together. I have no idea. But to me, to put Loletta in there when he can't read a defense yet, when he can't go out there and throw the football, I wouldn't do it. Will I get him in games? They have to get him in a handful of games at the end of this year, without a doubt. 100%, I would agree with that.
All right, so then when you are 2-7, what is the point of not putting him in there right now?
Because he's not ready, Jeff. What if he just simply can't function?
Is he going to be ready in 2 weeks?
I don't know.
If he's not ready now, I highly doubt he's going to be ready in 2 weeks.
You're maybe right. Jeff, I'm not disagreeing with that. All I'm saying is to throw him out there when he can't read a defense, when he can't be a functional NFL quarterback, is not the smart move. I'm agreeing with you. I want to see Loletta. You know, what they said was, and I saw him in the preseason, he actually wasn't bad. But again, he's playing against the third or fourth string Scrubinis. I don't know where he's at right now. All I could say is if I'm the New York Giants, you can't go from practice squad to NFL start. To me, he'd have to now become the backup so he gets some reps every week at the first team. Not a lot, but you get some reps. And then you want to be on the sideline in uniform for a week at least. I would think 2 or 3 weeks. I will guarantee you in the next 2 weeks, he will start to be the backup quarterback. But there's no way he's going to go from third string carrying a clipboard every Sunday to starting an NFL game. It's not going to happen.
You're 9 games into your season with 7
yep.
games left.
Correct.
If you continue to play Eli, regardless of how good he did last night, which wasn't a great game, 188 yards is not a great game, and you know
not
that.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. There's rookies that are averaging better than that in the league right now.
Jeff, okay? No doubt.
You need to get other people in there. You need to know what you got. Eli is not an option, Tom. If you keep Eli next year and you make him your backup, let's just say that you keep him and you make him your backup, and then your first stringer goes down, and now you're back to Eli, okay? Right. You're going to face the same season. The guy has had a losing record since he last won the Super Bowl. What is the point of keeping him around?
Let me ask you this question. Let me just run this. Let's say, all right, so let's say we jettison Eli. Eli's off the grid. He's cut after the season. He won't take less money, right? Let's say that's it. Eli's done. We have the parade. We do the whole bit. We grease him up ready for Canton, Ohio. Okay, Eli's gone. So now we either draft a quarterback or Loletta's the quarterback, right? Let's say that's one of the two options. We'll figure it out. Who starts next year? Do we have Alex Taney? Are we bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick? Are we going to get, I don't know. Well, there's 100 guys. Glennon. There's a bunch of guys. Let's say Bridgewater's not on the table. All I'm saying is, if I'm going to go with Loletta as a possibility, or if I'm going to go and draft a quarterback, I want a veteran quarterback on my roster ready to play. Maybe start the season, maybe not start the season. All I'm saying is, I'll think about it. If I could keep the guy who already knows my system and is still a viable NFL quarterback, I will keep Eli. I'm not telling you I'm building. I want another quarterback on the roster.
I understand that. But the thing is, your best option may be to get rid of Eli, and you know it. And you keep saying a viable NFL quarterback when one, unless they repair that line, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And
I agree with that. Sure.
His first decent touchdown passing game of the season, and he still didn't crack 200 yards, and the running game was non-existent. So this is a team that you need to find people. You need to know if they're on the roster. And you, as a Giant fan, don't want to try that out. You're not on the cusp of possibly being in the playoffs. You're not fighting for the second wild card spot. Right now, if I was the Giant general manager and coach, I'd be playing every single person on that roster that I could possibly play and tell them, look, this is a tryout. You have 7 games to show me what you got. It starts tomorrow. So get in there and learn and let's see what you got. Just how we all said in the beginning of the year that it looked like Donald was doing okay because he was able to read defenses, this, that, and the other thing. And look what happened. They ended up benching him. So you have nothing. Why would they draft this kid if they had no reason or intention to ever put him in the game? You know, they thought that Eli was going to be something this year, but he wasn't. And I just don't see the point of how holding on to a 38-year-old quarterback that next year at this time we'll be talking about if he's on the Giants, how he'll be closing in on 39.
But you're looking to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick, a 39-year-old quarterback.
I didn't say Ryan Fitzpatrick. You keep bringing up Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But okay, so all I said to the beginning of this was, I'm okay with getting rid of Eli, but who am I bringing in? Am I bringing in another 37, 38-year-old retread who I got to sit and watch, play, and play? I might as well keep the guy I got for a right price. I'm not looking to keep Eli. If I can upgrade, I'm all in. You got me. I'm all in. I'm ready to make the change.
You don't know who next year, what's going to happen next year, who's possibly going to be available and who may go where. I say that they get rid of Eli and do what they got to do. Because do you think that this team competes for a wild card spot next year? Honestly.
No, absolutely not. I don't care who you bring in. this team's not competing for wild card next year.
Okay, so
unless you get me Drew Brees or Tom Brady, you're not winning a wild card next year.
And Brady and Drew Brees at their age could end up breaking down at any time.
Sure. Again, I'm just saying is I'm getting to on this whole thing is I'm ready to make the change. It's time. I agree. Eli's not Eli anymore. But unless I have a viable option, unless I got a guy who's better than Eli, and right now there aren't a ton of guys who are going to be available who are better than Eli. Name me the guy who's the second string on somebody else's team that you can tell me is I think right now, the more and more I look at it and the more I watch, Mariota's not going anywhere. Tennessee's going to bring Mariota back to playing good football. Is Winston going to be available? Do I want Winston? I don't want Winston. Would I take him as a one-year stopgap? Maybe. Maybe that would be the answer. Maybe.
You say about Fitzpatrick, right?
Yep.
Okay. You keep me bringing his name up. So let's look at his stats.
I got it right for him.
He's thrown for 2,100, almost 2,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm going to look up Eli real quick. Do you have Eli in front of you?
2,500 plus yards, 11 TDs, 6 INTs.
Okay. So is his rushing stats there? No, I don't see his rushing stats.
No.
Eli's topped 300 yards only three times this season.
Okay.
He's only had 1, 2, 3 multi-touchdown games. He's gone several games without an interception. I'll give him that much. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that he's had no interceptions. And he's also had two games that he didn't throw a touchdown pass.
I got it. And I'm telling you, as a Giant fan, as a guy who could separate himself as a Giant fan and do a show and tell you the honest truth, again, if Eli stuck to it and said, I got to be paid $20 million next year, I don't care if you got to bring – if we got to dig up, you know, Otto Graham, I'd take him over Eli next year. I could care less. I'm not paying Eli top dollar. But if Eli came back and said, hey, wait, I know I ain't worth $20 million. Give me $8 million next year. You know, spread my money out over the next 3 years, and I will take less money to stay on this team next year and compete. I'm going to think about
it. I don't
think
it's going to be his choice. Whether he stays on his team next year or not.
No, you know what? Jeff, you know what? In the end, you're probably right. If I was the Giant management and I was unsure, I would rip the scab off and I would tear it off and jettison Eli. Say, Eli, thank you for your career. I'll agree with you wholeheartedly. But I also think, okay, who am I going to put in front of my fans next year as a viable NFL quarterback? And I'm going to go, okay, I like Loletta. Maybe we see something good in him. But who's my back? Is Alex Tanny my backup next year to Jake Loletta? Is that what I'm selling? Am I going to draft a quarterback in the first round? There's only three decent ones, and two of them are very questionable. The kid at Duke's questionable, and the kid at Oregon, if he comes out, is no guarantee. So, you know, if I'm the Giants, I'll make every effort in the world next year to sign Teddy Bridgewater. That's where I'm going.
I hope that the Saints slap the franchise tag on him.
I think it'll be $25 million.
I hope Eli. This is my joy as a Jet fan.
I hope Eli retires, and
the only quarterback on the market is Ryan Fitzpatrick and Warren Moon.
Yeah, I got it. I get it.
That's what I want to see.
I know you do. And you know what? You may just get your wish. And here you are on Hard Rock at Sports 347-826-9924 on the NFL Recap Show Tuesday night, 7 to 8. 60 minutes of hard-hitting NFL action brought to you by our friends at RFL Records. However it plays out. I want to see Loletta play this year 150%. I want to see Loletta
put him
play.
He has to get put
100%.
In.
100%. No, again, see, that's where you're off. You don't have to put him in soon. You got to put him in at some point. To me, if he's ready, I would. If he was
definitely
ready
not.
Right
Let
now.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Honestly.
Okay.
Let's talk Sam Darnold for a second. Let's stay on the Giants, but let's talk Sam Darnold for a second. Okay? After his first game, everybody was very excited. Remember that?
Sure.
Okay.
Me too.
And a lot of people were like, oh, this is it. They're on their way and everything else. And I even said, Can't anoint him yet. He's only had one game. Didn't I say that?
You're 100% on the money. Yep.
Okay. So now he went, what are they, 3-7, the Jets. He played 9 games. Would you still say that his NFL career is up in the air?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so you can't even say that this guy is going to be a remotely successful quarterback after 9 games, right?
I wouldn't even say that he's guaranteed to be there 2 years from now.
Okay, so then if you don't put Luletta in soon, now, then you're going to be in the same exact position and having the same exact conversation about the Giant quarterback next year at this time.
I'm not disagreeing. There's no rush to do it.
7 games left in their season. They're not going anyplace. You can't give these kids 5, 4 games, 6 games and say, okay, let's see what he does. Because if you take 6 games from Sam Darnold, he had 3 games where he played really good, and then he had 3 games where he didn't play good. Who is he? Is he the guy that had the good games? Is he the guy that stumbled and didn't have the good games? Virtually impossible to tell after 6 games. So I feel as though you need to put this kid in as soon as possible so that this way you know you have a better idea. You can't give him 4 games at the end of the year when everybody's going to be giving up and just playing out the string, because then that's just suicide, because now you're going to have no idea what you're going to have, because even if the kid doesn't play good but the offensive line play good, say the kid played good as quarterback but the offensive line let him down, you don't know. You don't know if they're going to start to shut Barkley down after a while like we spoke about. Because after a while, it's like, what's the sense of playing him? And because he may get injured. So, I mean, if I was on the Giants, I would start cutting back his workload a little bit because they're not going anyplace. So, to me personally, I say put that kid out there within the next week or two, regardless of what Eli's doing. And just
not,
you have to know.
But let me ask you a question. If he was ready, the Giants were off for 2 weeks. If he was ready, wouldn't an opportune time to start him be after 2 weeks off, while he had 2 weeks to prepare, coming into a game against a 2-7 team, wouldn't that have been the opportune time to start him? So it tells me that not only did he not start, he didn't even dress for the game, which tells me he's not nearly ready. So, yes, I think he's going to get in. I think it's not going to be – I think if Eli – shits to bed next week, Sunday against Tampa, there's a good chance you'll see him pretty soon. But I'm telling you, Jeff, you're not going to see him go from – I will be shocked if he goes from the third string, not even dressing, to starting an NFL game. He's going to ride the pine for a week or two just to get that feel, and then they'll get him in. I think that's how it goes. But I could
– Well, listen, this is an organization – okay, that started a Jet cast off as quarterback for one game last year.
Even though
that hierarchy is gone.
And they learned their lesson. Yeah, I think they learned their lesson.
And even you said last year that you would have no problem with it if they had started Davis Webb. Well, this year's Davis Webb.
But, Jeff, that was week 14 or 15. I would have been okay if they did that. You had 2 or 3 games left in the year. Go for it. I would have signed off on that tomorrow. Here's what should have happened.
But what are you going to learn in 3, 4 games, Tom?
Jeff, again, you'll probably learn the same you're going to as you would if you gave the kid 6 games.
I disagree. I don't think you're going to learn. Look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Baker Mayfield.
He was the first pick in the draft. Talking about a kid who was a fourth rounder out of Richmond. It's a different ball game. If this was Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson or one of those guys who was a top 10, 15 pick in the draft, I would agree with you. They played at big schools who were high draft choices. This is a kid who was a fourth rounder out of Richmond. It's a different ball game.
Tom Brady is a 6th rounder, win how many Super Bowls and set how many.
Brady went to Michigan and was a starter.
He wasn't a starter.
Yes, he was. Tom Brady was a starter at Michigan.
He's, He split time with the other quarterback that was there at that time.
With Drew Henson, yes. I was a big fan. I saw their games. Tom Brady started some games and Henson started some games. Yes, he was not, and he was no guarantee, and he was a six-round pick. But there aren't 15 Tom Brady's. So I'm not telling you that Jake Luton can't be a great player someday. All I'm saying is I don't think you need – here's what the Giants are not trying to do. They're not trying to stunt the growth of the rest of the team by putting in a kid who can't function. Jeff, it's one thing to be bad. It's one thing to go out there and be a bad football player. Eli was bad his first season and a half. He was a bad football player, but he could function. He was functionable. He knew the offense. He knew the plays. He was just a bad quarterback. This kid, if he's not even the backup, when Alex Taney is the backup, tells me he's not even functional yet. He doesn't know enough but to be out there and run a team.
You don't know that for sure, and you're not going to know that unless you get him out there to play.
Again, the Giants must know it, because if he was functional, he'd be the backup quarterback ready to go in at a moment's notice. He's not. That's the telltale sign. I get you. But if the Giants
are scared to make the quarterback change simply because of the backlash they received throughout professional sports, not the NFL, throughout professional sports.
I agree.
They jacked Eli last year, so they're gun-shy on it.
I agree.
And they're not going to do it until the absolute last possible moment, which is going to hurt your team in the long run.
Sherman came out in the papers and said, I called Eli and told him, you got to win. It's not like he called Eli and said, I'm not telling anybody this, but if you lose this game, I got to start thinking about making a move here. He came out in the papers and said, I called Eli personally, told him that we have to win. He's got to put on a good show. So he's telling him right there and then. But, again, are the Giants a little gun-shy? Yes. I don't think the Giants will bench Eli Manning for Alex Taney. I would be shocked. Unless Eli got hurt, to Alex Taney's never going to see the field. If you're going to sit Eli, if you're going to sit Eli,
need,
it's going to be full of letter.
They need to start. They need to do something.
I agree.
And all they're doing is wasting time.
Well, I agree with – I sort of agree, but I disagree. If the kid was ready, I would agree. I think the plan fell apart, and I said it before the season. If Eli comes out there and isn't great, and he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been bad, it's been most of the rest of the team, especially the offensive line. So if the offensive line plays decent and the Giants are 4-4 right now, we're not having this conversation. But because they've been so bad, I disagree.
But
I think
they're not. And they're
right.
2-7, 2-8, whatever they are. And it's time that they make a change.
I think the Giants'
biggest
mistake.
I'll tell you the truth. I honestly and truly believe that guys like you, Giant fans, just are afraid to make that change.
I'm not afraid, Jeff. I'm all for it. I'm okay with it. I love Eli. It's going to happen this year, next year, whatever it is. Eli's got to go. I understand it. The future is somebody else. But I'm not ready to stick back. I don't want to turn the TV on every Sunday and watch a kid who can't function. I don't want to watch three for 19, for 37 yards. I don't want to watch it. And I don't want the kid to go out there and try to function in that. It doesn't make any sense. If he can't read a defense,
but you're,
he can't go through progression.
You're doing that now. You're doing that now with the quarterback now.
No, you're not. He's more than functional. Jeff, go through. He's had a bunch of really good games that they lost. Throw for 300.
How many of those games? I don't know how we would.
I watch every game.
No, let me finish. Let me finish. I don't know how we would figure this out, but how many of those games, when he had those decent amount of yards that you keep talking about, were games that maybe that was garbage time where he got those yards?
No. You know. I can tell you right now, the Carolina game. He threw for 326 and two TDs, and they lost because the defense couldn't hold. That's a game they should have won. The Cowboy game, he threw for 279 in the touchdown. That's a game they should have won. The Jacksonville game, I still think they should have won, but I won't call that one. The Atlanta game, he threw for 399 yards in a touchdown, and they lost 23-20. That's a game they should have won. So, again, I'm not telling you that it's not Eli's fault and that Eli should stay for five more years. I'm just telling you that he's not dysfunctional where if I had to – If I have to get stuck with a backup quarterback who's a bottom of the barrel guy, I would rather stick to the guy I got. At least it's Eli. I'm not telling you I want that. I'm not. I'm telling you, I would love to get a future quarterback and play him. But I just want it to be somebody who's functional, who knows the game, who can put on at least be. Look, I mean, you didn't watch the game, let's say, but this kid they had for Frisco, this Mullins kid, is his second game. He looked fantastic. I would take a guy like that in a heartbeat. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Well, listen, you don't have him at San Francisco is on their third quarterback. And, yes, they have no choice of who they have to play at this point in time because of injuries. That's understandable. But you're just not helping yourself out, dude. You're not.
But I think somewhere down the line,
you're going to turn around and you're going to be like, you were right.
No, see, Jeff, I'm not going to say that because here's the thing. I'm not saying keep Eli instead of getting another quarterback. All I'm saying is, if I have the option of bringing in some retread who never done anything in his career, why would I want to do that? What's the purpose? That's my point. How am I getting better by bringing in somebody else's cast off?
But you have a guy that has had a losing record overall. When was the last time they were even in the Super Bowl?
7 years.
7 years. So for the last 7 years, you've been dealing with a guy that has a losing record.
But all the guys that you want to name me. Here's the thing, and I'll challenge you. Go find me 10 guys, 5 guys, who you tell me would be better off as a Giant quarterback, and tell me how many Super Bowls they have won. Tell me what their records have been. What I'm saying is that just because of it, Eli has not been great. I'll give it to you, but all the quarterbacks that I saw on last night that they were talking about, these free agent quarterbacks, none of them have done anything ever. So unless Brent Roethlisberger or Joe Flacco or a named quarterback who's still got a little bit of juice left and I can have him for a year or two, like Kurt Warner before Eli came in, we grabbed Kurt Warner for a year and then they wound up 9 games in going to Eli. If you could get me somebody who's still a viable quarterback who gives me a chance to win, I'm in. But I don't want another. I don't want to trade one 38-year-old quarterback for another 30-something-year-old quarterback who gives me no options to win. That's not the point. Who are you going to get? I don't know. That's the problem.
You're not getting anybody. That's the thing, too.
Right. So that's my point. So if I'm not going to get anybody anyway, well, then I might as well think about sticking with the guy who I know as at least a good guy, is still a viable quarterback. He's got 2,500 yards at the halfway point of the season. He's at a little bit more than the halfway point of the season. He's got 2,500 yards. He's on his way to 4,000 yards, 20-something touchdowns. Can I live with that? Yeah. Do I want to? No. I agree with you. It's time for a new quarterback. I agree. 100%
well,
I agree. I just want the right quarterback.
But let's skip them for a while because I'm getting kind of old talking about them now.
Go ahead.
But it's time for the Jets.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The Jets, where do you even want to start? I'm going to let you pick where you want to start.
Let's start.
Remarkable.
The only thing remarkable about it is that Todd Bowles is still coaching.
Well, here's the thing, I agree with it, and I'll tell you why, Jeff. First off, if you go through their roster of coaches, there's not another NFL coach on that roster. So what you don't want to do right now, in my opinion, is have a season where you don't get any better. Right now, they're at least working toward being better for next year. Todd Bowles has got to go, but it don't make any sense at this point to fire him. You're not going to bring an outside coach in, and there's nobody on your team right now. There's not a Spagnuolo. There's not a Greg Williams. There's nobody on that roster that you go, oh, okay, we'll just bring him over and he'll finish the season. So Todd Bowles is dead man walking, but Jeff, you can't fire him midseason. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, listen, I disagree, and I'll tell you why I disagree. Right now, they're losing this team. Okay, Jamal Adams is in the paper on ESPN almost weekly, bitching about the team. Okay. This is a rookie that you're looking at. Well, not a rookie, second-year player that you're looking to build your team, your defense around. him along with Leonard Williams. And all he does is go and bitch to reporters about he's tired of losing. Excuse me, you're in the league, so you're in the middle of your second season and you're tired of losing. Well, you should have thought about that when you got drafted by the Jets. That's one thing, that it was going to be a long ride, okay? Second, Todd Bowles, other than his first year, has not done anything that I could say that, you know, they need to have this guy and let him do what he's got to do. They're going to lose this quarterback. They're going to lose this kid. That's what's going to end up happening with them. I could see it already. Because it's going to happen just like it did with Sanchez. They're going to end up losing him. You watch.
Well, when you say losing, you mean he's going to digress and be and turn into a shit quarterback type of thing?
I think so. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
It's possible. I don't think it'll happen. It would happen if you kept Bowles next year, which I don't think they have. The Jets need to bring in an offensive-minded quarterback coach next year. And I think he would be fine. If he's going to be a good quarterback, he will. I don't think this year will kill his career. Going forward, I would agree with you. You couldn't stick with Bowles. And I don't think they're going to. I just don't. What's the point, Jeff? What changes? It's the same people working with him if you fire Bowles.
Well,
it's the same.
You're right. But you know what? Maybe somebody comes up with a different system. And it's a little bit more Donald-friendly. I'm not
you're
saying
not
that you have the next coach of the Jets on your coaching staff now.
Right.
That is quite obvious. Do think that they need to do something, and that something is here and now. All right, we already watched it with Sanchez a number of years back, that they went out, they made the trade, they moved up, they had a little success with him, they had a defensive minded coach, and it didn't work out. Now you have another defensive minded coach in Todd Bowles. The guy just shows no emotion, doesn't like rip people apart, nothing. And I just think that it's time, put somebody else in there, get an offensive-minded person, do some kind of move, fire the offensive coordinator, do something. Because they're not doing anything. They're staying put, and that's a dangerous move. Okay?
I agree with you.
We know that there's no playoff mandate for Bowles. That's fine. I can understand that. But I feel as though that this team is going backwards. They just played Buffalo, bro. Okay? And they gave up 41 points to Buffalo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Buffalo went into this game, I think they had 96 or 97 points on the year. You allow this team, the Buffalo Bills, to score half their season point total in one game against your defense. Okay, you benched your rookie quarterback, they say that it was a foot injury. I don't know. You put a quarterback out there that hasn't played in over a year. Just too many questions. This guy has bad clock management, bad play calling. He's not getting this team fired up. I think that a coaching move at this point of the year, even if an answer is not on the team, maybe it just shows the team that you're looking to make a change and it'll fire the team up a little bit. I'm not saying that the next coach of the Jets has to start coaching this Sunday.
But what is
Bowles actually accomplishing with what he's doing now?
Nothing. I agree, Jeff. I do agree with 99% of what you said. The problem is it never works. Again, if you had a viable NFL coach. Again, it doesn't have to be the guy you're going to go to for the next 5 years. I'm just saying is you want somebody who – listen, let me give it this way, Jeff. Let's say you make a change. First off, the same people who are in Sam Darnold's ear right now are going to continue to be in his ear because you got the same people on the team. Nobody – you're going to get rid of the coach. Nothing's going to change. They're not going to put a new system in because it's too late. The best you can hope for is – the best you can hope for is they're going to call different plays. But the truth is, Bowles isn't calling plays. It's your offensive coordinator. So the one thing you could do is fire your offensive coordinator and maybe bring somebody new in. Maybe. But who's going to take that job knowing that Bowles is going to get fired?
Listen, that's a problem that the Jets have had for 100 years, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you already know that, okay?
Yep.
But here's the thing. Sometimes you need to make a change on the team. And if you're not making the change on the team, then you're not helping yourself out in the long run, and you know it. It's impossible. They have to do something.
I agree.
Okay? Now, I understand everything that you're saying. Todd Bowles isn't in there, and, you know, there's no viable option and everything else. That's great. I can understand that. Tom, something's got to get done, man. It has to. If you don't do anything, then you're showing the team that, okay, we're losing, and that's it. This is the way the team is. We'll try next year. So, to me, I know that there's no viable option. There's nobody for next year. But you shouldn't be thinking about anything for next year. And McCagnan should clear house of all of these coaches. There's nobody that's really stood out on this Jet team that you're going to be like, well, the receivers coach was good, or the line coach was good, or the specials team coach was good. There's nobody that you want to see stay. And then next year, they need to do something. They need an offensive-minded coach. They mortgage the future by getting rid of 2 second-round picks to grab Donald, you know, for next year, not this year. They lost this year's second rounder, right? And then 2 next year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you already gave up a lot. You need to make a change. Cleveland did it. And look what – and we know that Hugh Jackson should have been fired a long time ago. But
yeah,
look
but
what Hugh Jackson did with this year. He already,
I got it, but they also had Greg Williams, who hasn't been an NFL coach in the past. You had a guy who knows how to run a game, a guy who's done it. I'm looking at the Jeff coaching staff, Jeff. There's not a guy on here with any sort of head coaching experience. I mean, I'm looking at Kevin Green.
Todd Bowles came in with no head coaching experience.
Again, but he was at least a coordinator on a staff for 3 or 4 years, a defensive coordinator. So, again, he's not done a great job. So you're talking about taking a guy who's not even been a coordinator for a full season, Jeremy Bates, and asking him to now run the entire team. Here's the thing. Could you do it and fire it up? Absolutely. If I told you today, if you're the Jet players, and I tell you, okay, I'm firing Todd Bowles, who they all seem to like, and we're going to promote Jeremy Bates, is that inspiring anything? The problem is right now the players know that this coaching staff, whoever's here right now, isn't going to be here next year. If you're going to bring in a coach from the ranks, there has to be the thought that, hey, this guy could be my coach next year. I better bust my butt. Otherwise, what's the sense? That guys aren't going to play hard for a guy who's not going to be there anyway, which is going on with Ty Bowles right now. Everybody knows he's not going to be back. So I get your point.
We know that.
But yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – listen, nothing hurts. I don't care what anybody says. Nothing hurts at this point in time. What does it hurt?
It's not going to happen. If it didn't happen Monday, 2 weeks. If you're going to make the change, Jeff, it would have been Monday, right? Because that's the start of a 2-week bye period. So you could have brought a coach in. I mean, you could have fired Bowles, promoted somebody from within, and they would have 2 weeks to prepare. At this point, I agree with you. You know what, Jeff? I'll even take your side on this and say you're right. They should have fired Bowles to send a message. But they didn't do it. So now you can't do it. Now you can't.
Oh, listen, dude. A lot of things happen in the NFL, and you know it. So you can never say they can't do it because you just never know what's going to happen next. Okay? So I'm not saying that they're going to fire him. Evidently, they're not going to fire him.
Yep.
But they definitely need to do something, and that's all there is to it.
But let me ask you this question. Let's get a little deeper into this one, Jeff. And we both know Bowles is gone. So let's say Bowles lasts the season. Let's both agree at this point, if I'm the Jets, I'm not giving Bowles, I'm not going to give away any money. I'm not going to bring another coach in. So let's just assume for the fact that Bowles are going to be here for the rest of the season. That okay with you for the second?
I'm listening.
Okay. At the end of this year, does Mike Maccagnan deserve to hire another coach? 4 years, no playoffs, no smell of the playoffs. He's missed on a bunch of his draft picks. If you're good at – now, hear me out on this. If you stay with McCagnan –
I'm listening. I'll give you everything you got, man. You got the stage, right?
If McCagnan gets to stay, picks a coach, and year one or so, let's say after year one or two, in middle of year two, that coach has not done a good enough job, Now what? You got another coach you're paying, and you're gonna bring another GM who stuck with the coach. It's the same thing that happened with Itzik when they didn't fire Itzik and Rex. What's your thoughts? Does Mike McCagney deserve to come back next year?
I think that with the $90 million or whatever it is in cap room that they're going to have, okay? Mm-hmm. And evidently they're going to have another high round or draft pick. We know this, okay?
Hell yeah.
I say at the very least, give McCagney the another year, okay? The reason I say that is because he didn't hit on a lot of draft picks. This is true. That you can't argue that fact. But it also looks as though that he did hit on some of those draft picks and that he's made some smart trades. Okay? So now let's say Donald works out. That trade to give up the number twos that he did, which was basically he gave up three number twos, but he only really gave up two number twos because one of those number twos came from another team. So it's like he only gave up two of his own draft picks. The other one was an extra anyway, okay, if that makes sense to you, if you're following my train of thought here.
I follow you again.
Okay, he did sign some key free agents his first year here. Okay, they didn't work out, but the thought process was there, all right? So I say that if they have the money and if Donald shows improvement this year and he could draft good, which is not is not all his fault, by the way, if the draft doesn't go good. I don't blame that all on the general manager because some of the scouting department has to take some of that blame also. Wouldn't you agree with that?
To a certain extent, but you're still – I mean, again, I believe McCagney's the final word. So at the end of the day, you're presented with all the facts, and it's ultimately your decision. So you get the credit for the good. You get the blame for the bad. So I'll say that – Your scouts are out there giving you the facts and figures. Ultimately, McCagney's pulling the lever.
Yeah, I agree with you. But nonetheless, he's also getting the information from his scouts. Okay?
Yes.
So I know he does his scouting and everything else, but if the scouting department turns around and says, listen, there's this 340-pound left tackle out of Wagner, okay? This guy is lighting the world on fire. You have to draft this kid. And he does draft the kid. And yes, he did have the final say on it, but every draft is a 50-50, and we both know that.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of hard to pin it all on him, so I got to give some blame to the scouting department, but we strayed from the original question. I say that if they get rid of the coach, they give McCagney one more year, he goes out, you must get an offensive-minded coach. If he doesn't start looking for offensive-minded coaches, then he goes out right after Bowles. So if I was Johnson,
mm-hmm.
okay, I would turn around and meet with him and say, who are your plans? Who do you plan on trying to get for the coach? And if he turned around and named some defensive names, I would turn around and tell him, then you're gone too. Okay? But if he's going after an offensive-minded coach, the Flippo, some of these other names that are out there, offensive-minded coaches. I was a list of them in the paper the other day. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. If he doesn't go after one of them, then he's got to go because you're looking to develop a quarterback. And you need offensive-minded coaching. Okay? You can't just win with defense. They've already shown that they can't. So if he could do all of that, then I say let him pick another coach and give him another year. Because if he signs some key free agents, young, good key free agents, and I'm not talking about 31, 32-year-old guys that are still in their prime, I would also want him to stay away from Le'Veon Bell. I do not want the Jets to get Le'Veon Bell.
That's a tough one. I kind of feel the same way you do. I know there are a lot of Jet fans out there that do want Le'Veon Bell, figuring that he's going to be out there trying to show up to the Steelers, but he's already proved to be a cancer on a really good team.
Yep.
Now, I would be leery of that one, and I agree with you. But, Jeff, the only hole I'm knocking your theory is this. If you keep McCagney, and I'm not opposed to keeping him. I'm just saying is if you bring in McCagney, let's say you bring him.
No, we got to look at both sides. We got to look at both sides.
Right. So if you keep him and he hires a coach, offensive-minded, he went out and got the best. He went maybe got Bienemy or Dan Campbell. an offensive-minded football coach. He got that coach, and he drafted. The draft went just about as normal, 50%, and the Jets went out next year, and they were terrible. Let's say they're back to another year like this year. Now you're going to fire Maccagnan. Now you bring another coach. Now you bring in a general manager, and now he's kind of stuck with your coach. That's because it's his first year of probably a 3 or 4 year deal. Or you're going to fire that coach, stuck with the contract, bring another guy in, and now you're going to have your third system in 3 years. So I'm not telling you shouldn't keep him. I'm just saying is if you keep Maccagnan and fire Bowles, you're setting yourself up for a repeat of the end of Rex. And that's the only thing I fear for the Jets is I would rather them almost wipe the slate clean and start from scratch. Then,
why? Because then if you get a new general manager and a new coach and these guys aren't high on Donald, then the next thing you know, they're going to be on the quarterback search again.
Well, that's, again, Jeff, I get you. You know, you start picking at the bottom and the whole thing falls apart. I kind of get it. I'm just saying is you could still have that problem 2 years from now. Would I keep Maccagnan? I probably would. He's done a decent enough job. But I also say 4 years in, we haven't even smelled the playoffs.
No, you're right. And the players that Bowles coaches are not his fault because the general manager is the one that gets the players. So, yes, you could look at it that way, too, and say, well, maybe Maccagnan's got to go and Bowles stays.
He did have
him competitive last year, but Maccagnan isn't giving him the personnel. Now, we all know it doesn't happen that way, and when it did happen with the Jets, it was just a recipe for disaster. We know that.
Yes. Okay? Absolutely, yes,
100%. But the point being is I can't see getting rid of both of them because if you get rid of both of them, then there's a risk that somebody's going to hire another coach, that Donald ain't going to work out, plus certain players aren't going to work out. And either way, I think that a coach, new general manager coach tandem sets the Jets back even further. I would like to keep Maccagnan. Okay, he hasn't done that great, but he hasn't done that bad. What he's doing is rebuilding the team, so I could go along with the rebuild. And I don't think that the rebuild, I could deal with it if they're showing improvement. Now, we all knew that this team, and I said it in the beginning, they would be lucky to win 5 or 6 games. Okay? And I didn't think that they were going to go to the playoffs next year. I still say next year is a better year. But even now, I have to back off my promise of saying that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. I don't see that for next year either. But I think they're going to be a better team next year simply because of the cap space and another draft. But unless they make a few trades and get back into the second round, it's going to be rough because they're going to have a first-round pick, and then they're not going to pick again to the third round. And that's scary because, I mean, not that their second rounders ever matter anyway, but you just never know. And they need as much help as possible. But I think that they're going to make – I really do.
Again, the question becomes who's the guy making those decisions and does he spend the $90 million wisely? Because if you have the wrong guy making this decision, Jeff, and you misspend this $90 million, you set yourself back many years, my friend.
You're right, but that's where the owner has to be involved somewhat too and say, listen, I want young guys. I don't want nobody near the end of their career unless it's a kicker or something stupid like that. Okay, you need to be smart. This is my money you're spending. You got to spend it right. Okay, now I know I'm sure that every general manager hears that every year, but it doesn't always work out. Okay?
Nope.
But he does have to do something. Listen, I just had something on Bowles that I was going to tell you that Bowles left the center in the other last week. Okay, against the Dolphins, where the center did 5 or 6 bad snaps while the Jets were trying. They were coming back a little bit. They still had a chance. And you left the center in that was fucking hiking the ball all over the field. And Bowles didn't make the change until it was almost too late. It was too late. They ended up losing. I mean, it's a thought process like that to me kind of solidifies that Bowles has got to go. The offensive coordinator has got to go. Something has to happen there so that the Jets, the players know that they're trying to better the team and do what they got to do. But, you know, to stay status quo is not a good thing either. They're going to lose this kid. He's not going to develop. I think that you make the change, even if it's just for a few games of this year. Just the way the team knows, like, you know, they're serious about trying to win. What else could they do? What else, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's very frustrating, but they got to do something, Tom. They have to.
Jeff, I agree. I just, you know, again, I don't think that change. Again, I think if you're what the Browns had with Greg Williams, having a true a coach that's done it before, I would stick to it and say yes. Listen, when they hired Bowles, or you hire any of these coaches who've never been an NFL coach, I say it all the time. You know, you're taking, it's a risk. I'm saying is, to me, the change from Todd Bowles to another coach who's already on the staff, who's already been a part of this whole disaster, doesn't make a lot of sense. Could you do it to shake it up? Sure you could, Jeff. I don't think it's going to work, but I understand it. But to me, if you had an NFL coach who you'd say, well, he's going to get an interview next year. There's not a guy on this staff who'll get an interview next year to be a head coach on the New York Jets. So you're not
scaring. I don't think there's a guy on the staff that's going to get an interview to be a head coach anywhere in the NFL. But
you're
not talking about that the Jets are 1-5 at this point in time. You're talking about a season that's already lost, and you have nothing else to lose. I think that you have to send a message, and I think that you have to send this message at any cost. And to me, I just don't see – you've seen teams fire a coach at the 15th game, which makes – to me, we've talked about that, and we're like, what does that prove? What does that mean when that happens, when you fire a guy and you have somebody else come in for one game? So why not do it? Let them just do it for the sake of doing it, to fire up the team a little bit, change the direction of the mind process of the team. Let them show that nobody is safe on this roster, that you have to play. I understand your point where you said, and you're right, if they bring somebody in, you'll be like, well, this may be the coach next year. I'm going to have to play better. But if you show some of these players that, you know what, we're changing a losing culture here, if you're going to be held accountable, you're gone. So there should only be 3 or 4 people on that team that could honestly say that you're going to be here next year and you're part of it. Leonard Williams, Adams, Donald, maybe 1 or 2 others. But the rest of them be like, listen, if we got rid of the coach with this many games left, we have no problem letting you go too. And I think they have to do it soon. They should do something just to change the thought process of this team. Anything, just to shake it up.
Listen, I won't argue that point. You know what? You could be 100% right. It may be perfect. I don't see the purpose, but I understand your thought process, and it's valid. It's extremely valid. You're basically letting them know. You know, we're not going to stand for any shit. So I get it. That's fine, and I think it could possibly work. I'm not sure you're going to gain.
Let me ask you this, because I do understand what you're saying. So it's not like I'm not listening to what you're telling me. But let's just say that they elevate the offensive coordinator, okay? Let's just use him as example. And now they have to bring in another offensive coordinator or elevate somebody else. Suppose that new offensive coordinator gets a little bit more out of Donald, gets to use him in some other ways that they're not using him now, and he shows a little promise and his play starts to increase onto the good side. Wouldn't that alone be worth it when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback, that you may be giving him a boost of confidence or whatever at this point in time and say, like, the season's not lost, this is what you can do? We've seen flashes of it with Donald, but they need to push him, I think. They really do. They got to take the training wheels off. You only got a few games left, man. Let this kid air it out. Let him play.
Again, I won't argue with Jeff. I'll agree with you. It could possibly work, and you know what? It there's nothing says it. I would just tell you that it's probably, if they were going to do it, I would think they would have done it Monday. I think at this point, maybe with the last couple of games, if they're that bad, but I think at this point, if you weren't going to make the change now, you're not going to make the change. They'll write it out.
Probably not going to make the change. You're probably 100% right. but it doesn't hurt. It does not hurt.
No, at this point, it hurt.
When you're a losing team, Tom, when you're a losing team, okay, and you know that you're out of it for the playoffs, this should be auditions for everybody and to see what you got and what you could possibly put together and see if you have somebody, the wrong person, leading the charge. So, I mean, to me, at this point in time, this team right now looks like it's going 3-13 to me. What do you see?
I'd have to go back and check their schedule, Jeff. I don't know. I tell you what, I completely misread it.
Let's don't worry about the schedule, okay? Based on what you've known, what you've seen so far this year from this team, what do you think the final record is going to be?
Oh, man, Jeff, I don't know. I mean, give me a second. Hold on. Let me see something. Let me see if I can get their schedule real fast. Because it's hard for me to tell you unless I can let's see. Let's see the schedule the rest of the way. It's right here. 2 seconds. I'll have it right up here for you, Jeff. Okay, so that's all done. So let's go through. So they come back. Okay, week 12. They got a bye week 11. Week 12, they come back. Okay, Jeff, here you go. Ready? Let's figure this out together. They're going to be at home against the Patriots.
I pretty much would put that one down in the loss column, though.
Okay, the following week, that they're going to Tennessee.
Tennessee has been on fire as of late. I say that's another loss.
Okay. Week 14 at Buffalo.
The way that Buffalo handled them in the last game, if they're not up to beat Buffalo, then they don't deserve to win. I think that they're going to win in Buffalo, but I'm not 100% certain. I thought that they were going to beat Buffalo this time.
I'm going to give them a win in Buffalo. I'm going to say that was a fluke game. Buffalo's not that good.
They're not that good.
At home against Houston.
They're going to lose.
Okay, I'm going to go with you. I think that's a game they can win. At home against Green Bay.
That one is the way Green Bay's been playing, they stand a chance. But I also think that Green Bay is a better team than them, even at the position they're in. So I'm going to have to say that. I got to go with the Packers if I got to pick one way or another.
I'm going to give them a win. I'm going to give them a win in that game. I think Green Bay at this point is going to be giving it up. They're on the road late in the season, right before Christmas. I'm going to give the Jets a win. And then week 17 in Gillette Stadium against the Patriots, I'm going a big L on that one, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. I
think that game means everything to the Patriots. I think the Patriots are playing for at the very least – a home playoff game. So the Jets, 3 along the way. 2, maybe if they're lucky, could get a third win. I'm going to say the Jets get 2 more wins the rest of the way.
I personally don't see that. I say 1-2 wins out of what's left on the schedule if they're lucky. So, I mean, we're not far off with the way we're picking here.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I just don't see them having a chance.
Again, agreed. And again, would I be upset if they made the change? No, I think it's going to happen. You could try it any way you want. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to help. So I wouldn't personally do it. But if I woke up tomorrow morning and the Jets made a change, you know, it wouldn't faze me a bit. I'd understand it. So again, I think we're on the same page with it. I just don't think that it's, I don't think it's going to help them at all, Jeff. But, yeah, guys, 347-826-9934, Hard Rocket Sports here on the Tuesday night NFL recap show. Jeff Towinski hosting. Make sure you come back. Next Tuesday night will be the only show next week. So we may, if I could talk Jeff into doing a longer Tuesday night show, we might kind of do a little bit more of a little longer show. And next Thursday night will be off.
Listen, but don't waste too much time. All right, you don't have to convince me to do a longer show. If you want to do a 4-hour stint next Tuesday, hang up for an hour and come back for another 4, I'm good to go.
All right, so we'll probably give you a little bigger show next Tuesday night, and we'll be off on Thursday. We'll be here this Thursday with Jimbo Wallace from the Reverend Horton Heat, one of Jeff's favorite bands and a bass player he's met before, and we're looking forward to having Jimbo back on, so we'll we will definitely be looking forward to seeing you guys. We'll be back next Tuesday night for the show. So, Jeff, we got a couple more minutes. I got to wrap this up about 8:30, no later. So I know you
so
want to
let,
talk
let
about
take,
the NFL
let
draft.
Let me take control right here, okay?
Go for it.
We only, like you said, we only got a few minutes left. Tom, I want to get off of football for a little bit. Just a little bit.
Football.
I know that this is a football
yeah.
show,
just
but
I've got to
talk about something. Okay?
Okay. Go for it.
Friday night, last Friday night, me, you, and Paul. Let's talk a little. I don't know if you want to call it amateur, professional, entry level, whatever you want to talk about it. But
okay,
let's talk about
it.
The wrestling match that we went to go see the other.
Okay. All right. I'm in. Go ahead.
All right. Now, that was the first time that me, you, and that was the first time I ever got to go with Paul. But the first time that me and you went to a wrestling match in, what, 34, 35 years, if not more?
I would say, yeah, I would say, let's say early 80s, 82, 83, maybe.
All right. So let me ask you a couple things. The last time that we went to go see a wrestling was probably in Susan Wagner or Wagner College, and there was some WWF guys there. So we got to see some of the bigger names from WWF. This time we saw people we never knew, and it's been a long time. Tom, your thoughts on the state of wrestling right now that we got to see the other night? What do you think? Was there anybody there that you think you're going to see in the WWF one day?
No. I thought. And okay, I'll give it to you two ways. If I was going to scout future wrestling, I'd say it's the trap door was pulled and the noose is hung, you know. So it was. But having said that, there were some very entertaining matches. There were a couple of very entertaining matches. The last one, the one with the Oreo cookie guy was a good match. There was a couple of decent matches along the way. For an independent thing, it was a pretty decent card. But if you ask me the state of professional wrestling, yeah, it was sad.
I'm assuming when you say that, you're telling me that World of Wrestling, which is what that was called, WOW, is not in the WWE farm system.
I would say that at best there was one or two guys who could have probably been. I can't even put anybody on that I saw. There was maybe one guy who had the chance to be a low-level WWF guy back in the day.
Yeah, I hear that. I felt as though that it was a little rough. It was a little entertaining. It did bring me back. And I do remember bigger crowds for those WWF matches that we did see at those other places. So, I mean, the crowd was sparse. It looked like these were guys that were working regular 9-to-5 jobs, and, you know, this was their hobby to wrestle on the weekends. And they looked like but the important thing is they looked like they had fun doing it. The matches, they weren't bad. They weren't terrible for the wrestling that we saw. I mean, if they were in WWF, it'd be like, that was some bad matches. But there was a few good matches. The matches were entertaining. They lasted just long enough that you weren't really getting tired of what you were seeing. We got to meet and get our picture taken with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who looks like he's about 379 years old and wasn't moving very well. So I guess he won't be making a comeback anytime soon. They advertised Tony Atlas and Dr. Tom Pritchard, who I don't know where they were, but they definitely weren't out where we saw them.
I was very disappointed in that fact. So, but listen, was it fun? Yes. It was great to sit there. We had a few laughs. There was some serious hitting. I will tell you that either they're okay with smacking the crap out of each other or some people missed, because there was a few shots that were legitimately given last night, that night. And I thought from an entertainment standpoint, there was a couple of good matches. There was a couple of decent moves. I thought the best part was the crowd. The crowd of about 40 was really into it. They all, like, everybody seemed to know all these people. Like, they must get the same 40 people at every match.
Yeah, you know, it looked, I don't want to say it was a family atmosphere, because I don't believe that was the case. I believe that the wrestling and the wrestlers were trying to be more serious than the crowd actually took them. But it was nice to see, you know, the kids were getting into it, and the wrestlers were interacting with the crowd on some level. I thought it was funny during the intermission that people that wanted to kill one another were mingling amongst one another and laughing with one another, which kind of took away that aura of what wrestling, especially on that level, it should have been just so much more, I don't want to say sadistic. What is the word I'm looking for here? More of a hatred, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Is that what I'm looking for to say?
Yeah, you want the one guy to hate the other guy and beat the living crap out of him. You don't want to see him hanging out after the match, you know, buying a hot dog together and trying to sell a t-shirt.
Yeah, like you didn't want to see Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3 standing there peddling their t-shirts and little bobbleheads and everything else.
Yeah.
You wanted to see them continue the match at all costs, and that didn't happen there. And I understand it, but it kind of takes away from that mystique and that gray area in wrestling. Like, these guys were just trying to kick the shit out of one another 10 minutes ago, but now they're there laughing with one another and goofing with one another. So that I would have liked to have seen change. I think the rivalries that they were trying to make, even though that was our first time there, I think that they were trying. It was cool. Would you go again?
Yes, I would. I honestly tell you the truth, I would definitely go again. To be honest with you, it was. Now, I would never buy front row seats because that was the most ridiculous thing of all time. But
I'm sure we've done several benefits before in the past, and we always thought, you know, this is going to be something to bring the people in and everything else. And when I saw the poster, the first thing I thought was like, shit, for $5, I get a front row seat. I got to take this. I got to get this front row seat. But yeah, you're right. After seeing what the general admission crowd was, I would wait till after the first match and try to get in, you know, and try to get in a little bit cheaper. But
yeah,
I mean,
it was 8 inches in front of us for $5 more. I mean, listen, it was great. I'll tell you one thing it did for me, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I would love, absolutely, absolutely love, and if you were willing to do it, I would love to do play-by-play at a wrestling event.
Dude, let me tell you something. The only thing that will be better than that would be to interview these wrestlers as they come out.
Absolutely, and
tell them, say, you know, I need some raw emotion here. Come on, man, lay it on. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm going to contact not only the wrestling we saw was at the World, whatever the Warriors of Wrestling, but I will contact another one that I've seen in the past, and I will see it. But I would love to be at a match, sitting ringside, doing play-by-play out loud of the match, and then have you break off as the wrestlers come down, like me and Gene Oakland, and do 10 seconds or 20 seconds with the wrestlers on their way to the ring. I think it would be fantastic. I think it would be a blast. That's what it made me come out of there with. Like I said, I would love that if we could sit there and be ringside and be actually doing play-by-play over the radio for the match. That would be fun.
Oh, that would have been hysterical. That would be great because – As those matches were very entertaining, without a doubt. And it kept it. There was nobody that was stuck in an armbar for 7 minutes. You know what I mean? They were moving the whole time. So yeah, it would have been great to have that happen, and it would be a lot of fun. And the best part is you know, for a couple hours, there was no beer on the premises, and that was fine. We weren't there to drink. But you know what? For a couple hours, it was like being 15, 14, 15 again. Where, like, you know, it was a rainy Friday night. What else were you going to do anyway? And there we were watching wrestling.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot of fun.
The only thing I'll knock on it, Jeff, they should start it earlier. Because I tell you what, by the intermission at 9:30, I was done.
Dude, not for nothing. I got to agree with you there. That last match, I don't even remember most of it because I was passing out in the chair.
That was probably the best technical match of the night. The four guys they had in that wrestling were actually pretty good wrestlers. So it was actually a decent match. I just think the problem was it was late. I mean, listen, it was 10:20 when it ended. So it's not like it was midnight. But I'm saying this to me, that should have started at like 6, 6:30 and been done by 9:30. I just think,
you know, unfortunately, Tom, and this is a big unfortunately, I think that we've reached a new level in life where 10:30 is really, really late.
Yeah, listen,
that's what I think the problem is.
I was fighting it. I got to be honest. Like, I left my house at 5 in the morning, 5:30, let's call it. I worked all day, went to a wake, straight to your house. We had something to eat, and then we got there. By the time I sat down in that seat and that thing started at 8 o'clock, I was already tired. So
yeah,
by 10,
I know you had a long day, so it was almost not fair to you.
But I'll tell you what, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun hanging out with my friends. Yes, it brought me back to that day sitting in Wagner College when we got to see Superfly and Tony Atlas and some of the greats of the WWF. Was it on that level? Absolutely not. But it was a lot of fun, and there was some laughs. There was a couple times just goofing on what we watched and some of the things we saw. And I'll tell you this, though. The Warriors of Wrestling should definitely give out gym memberships to some of their wrestlers.
Oh, dude, without a doubt. And I will say this much. You know what? We used to go to these wrestling events at Wagner, and we would see guys that were on TV. To anybody listening, the only time that you're going to see any of these wrestlers on TV is maybe during the crime roundup or the local news, because these guys are not going anywhere,
yeah.
And they're getting there,
yeah,
nowhere soon.
But,
you know, nowhere fast, but
I guess
it was
cool. They put the effort in. They definitely put in the effort, and they took it serious. And I love the fact that they were selling anger. They were selling the storyline, and it was it was a fun night. I'm glad you found it, and again, absolutely, would I do it again? Yes. So, but in the meantime, I am going to try to find out if somebody will let us sit ringside and do play-by-play, and we can be Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura doing a show. I would do it tomorrow.
You know, I have a feeling with that wrestling organization, if you're able to contact the right people and you tell them that you're a radio show, you may get free passes for life to do that. But,
yeah,
you know, they have no idea. And you could probably get some of their wrestlers to come on the show, which would be cool, like the time we interviewed that Jersey,
yes,
wrestler and had a little fun with him, remember?
Absolutely. And again, I think that's part of the fun of it. So, yes, what it did for me was restoke it. It was nice to get to meet a guy. I wouldn't call him a hero, obviously. I loved Ricky Steamboat, but he wasn't my favorite wrestler. But, you know, it's nice to be standing next to a guy that 30-something years ago we talked about constantly. You know, so it's like meeting an old football player or an old baseball player. You know, it's just, you know, and I got pictures that I'm going to hang on my wall of me, you, and Ricky Steamboat. You got the belt. It's something I'll always remember.
Yeah, you had his Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame ring. And you're right, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, you know, he was one of those guys that never really rose to the next,
yeah,
level in wrestling. He,
yep,
was an Intercontinental Champion a couple times, but he never made it to the next level. And it's kind of a shame, but I don't think he had the appeal and the draw, because a lot of those other people at that time, they were kind of character wrestlers, if you remember.
Sure.
And he,
absolutely,
was just Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And, you know, it just, I don't think his gimmick was good enough. And I think that's where he fell short. Guys like him, Tito Santana,
yep,
they just didn't have enough to
good
go to the next level.
Yeah, you know what, Jeff? Ricky Steamboat was a great technical wrestler. I mean, and if you ever get a chance, and I watched it not too long ago, go back and watch the match with him and Macho Man at WrestleMania 3. It's probably one of the best wrestling matches you're ever going to see. But you're right. His personality, his ring persona was good, but it wasn't Hogan. He wasn't, you know, Macho Man, you know, where those guys were just not the greatest wrestlers you ever saw, but their person. Look at the old Warrior. The guy who was the worst wrestler you ever saw, but he was 10 times bigger in name than Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he came out like a ball of fire. By the time he ended up getting in the ring and fighting somebody, you were still talking about his entrance. And then, you know, he,
yeah,
did all of these monster power moves, and,
yep,
that's what, you know, people want to see power. Whether,
absolutely,
it's baseball, football, wrestling, whatever the case is, They want to see that power move. That's what it's all about. The finesse stuff, that kind of gets lost, and that's unfortunate because you're right. Steamboat and Savage, that was a great technical wrestling match.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They're going to remember it because we're told to remember it, so to speak. You know what I mean? But nobody's ever going to forget Warrior. Nobody's ever going to forget Hogan or Andre the Giant. The big names are going to live in wrestling forever.
Sure. I agree with that 100%. But, Jeff, it was a great, great choice. It was a good guy's night out. We didn't have to go out and spend a ton of money or go out drinking. And it was a quiet night for three buddies to go have a little dinner and watch a little wrestling. We had a few laughs. But, yes, absolutely 100%, I would do it again.
Cool, because I know they have it. I don't know whether it's once a month, once every other month. So it does happen quite frequently. So the chance to go again is always going to be there. But it was cool, without a doubt. Everything that you said, we don't get to see Paul.
I would think about this. It was one, December 1st, they're having their 11th anniversary, and there was a bunch of big wrestlers going to be there. So if you had some thoughts on December 1st, I would think I would go. I got to be honest with you. I thought that was the card that they announced of wrestlers, past wrestlers who were going to be there was pretty good.
Well, listen, the only thing I could say to that is that if you wanted to go, you know, I would go, no problems. But we were promised big name wrestlers for this show.
True.
And see how that turned out.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send out some inquiries for us as a show to see if we can get involved. And I will look into what their next events are. We'll see. But I think that one, if the name showed up, I think that was a pretty good night. But, Jeff, great call. And a great way to end the show. It's a lot of fun for me to talk about that. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, you know what? This show overall in general was a pretty cool show. Anytime we get to argue some football points, was pretty good. So I enjoy it. And listen, I think good points, as with every show, good points were raised all around. And I think it's a lot of frustration on both sides with what these teams, the position that they're in, and what everybody thinks that they should be doing. It just makes for good conversation. I enjoy it. I love Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we'll be back next Tuesday night with the NFL recap for week number 11. That will be the only show next week. So make sure that you guys come on back next Tuesday night. There is no Thursday show. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. But we do have a Thursday show this week, and we'll have the one and only Mr. Jimbo Wallace, Jeff. Mr. Jimbo Wallace will be joining us to talk about Hog Time Woman and the new album from Reverend Horton Heat. So, Jeff, I'm looking forward to Jimbo on Thursday night.
Yes, so am I, man. Jimbo was a pretty good guest the last time that we had him on the show. He's a good guy. I got to meet him several times. He's not afraid to talk. And once we broke the ice with him, they went along pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to Thursday night. We get to talk to Jimbo again. That's going to be cool.
Yep. So, guys, make sure you come back this Thursday night from 6:30 to 9:30. We will have a couple of the boys from After the Fall. I think Matt and I'm not sure if it's Chris. One of the guys will be on with from After the Fall. We'll also have Jimbo Wallace. And, of course, we'll be talking about all the biggest news from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the world of sports. But don't forget tomorrow night right here on these channels, Pastor Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham. Guys will be bringing you some football, some basketball. I'm sure they're going to get to some hockey. They cover it all, and they do a great job with it, guys. So please, Wednesday night, 6 to 8, Carl and Mike on the Pastor Mike Show. Thursday night's back with Jeff and I. And, of course, all of these shows are on Spotify.com. You can go and check a couple hours after this show is over. You'll find the show up on the site, and you can listen to Jeff and I go back and forth each week, but you get all the shows right back to the days when we had George Foreman, Lita Ford, Pete Rose, Keiza Butler, so many names. It takes me forever to do it. 260-plus shows are on Spotify.com. Search in the podcast for Hard Rockin' Sports, and you'll find us there for your listening pleasure. But, guys, this one's got to end. I want to say a special thank you to everybody who paid attention on Facebook. Big thank you to our sponsor, RFO Records. Check out RFORecords.com for all of your biggest, for all the big news about the, and I want to say it again, we had a big uptake, Jeff. We have most of our listeners the past month have been in the UK. I think it's 40-some percent of the people listening to the show are in the UK, and I attribute that to RFL Records moving and getting their deal in Great Britain, in the UK, and I think it's benefiting the show as well. So thank you to everybody at RFL Records, and thank you to everybody out there who's listening, and we'll see you guys back next Tuesday. So, Jeff.
Regardless of what the reason is, it's just cool to know that somewhere on the other side of the globe, pretty much, somebody's listening to what we're talking about.
Yes, it is.
And what may even be better is that when they go to work the next day, they may turn around and be like, did you hear those two idiots last night?
Exactly. Listen, I don't care why they listen, as long as they listen, Jeff. I don't care why. But Jeff,
you better start playing some more English bands in the beginning of the show.
Yes, I'll have to feature some more new album bands coming up. But Jeff, there's only one way to end a Hard Rock and Sports Show, regardless of which one it is. And do you know what it is? Hitting the button.
Stage is that moose, right. You know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Yep, and at 8:40 at night, and my 51-year-old body, I feel like a preserved moose. But guys, for Jeff Towinski, myself, Nick Marino, and everybody here at the Hard Rocket Sports Show, we say thank you. Please be safe. Enjoy your Wednesday, and we'll see you back here on Thursday night for the Hard Rocket Sports Show. Jeff, great job, brother.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of people, when they're born, their mothers are sitting there holding them and saying that, you know, one day that this may be the president or maybe an important person, maybe a lawyer or a doctor. And then as kids, we grew up and we're like, well, we want to play football, or I want to be a baseball player or be a cowboy or whatever. And now at this point in our life, we're just hoping to be a preserved moose. Where did we go wrong?
I don't know, but you're right, Jeff. That is a far depressing way to look at it. But thank you for pointing that out. I'll take it off the air. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, we are looking to be the preserved moose. Oh, boy, wait a minute, the show. But that is the way we're going to end it, folks. So, again, from Jeff, me, and everybody here at Hard Rock and Sports, we tell you to please be safe. The weather's going to be a little funky the next few days. And please be safe and come on back tomorrow and Thursday for more Hard Rock and Sports. And we'll see you next Tuesday night on the NFL Recap Show live on Blog Talk Radio. Jeff, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, dude, man. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow or Thursday.
You got it. Good night, everybody.
Later.